This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'ahu da'a ma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hopefully, inshallah, you are okay with the fasting. I see the numbers are declining. Oh, for the traffic. Okay. So it's not about fasting, it is about the traffic. Alhamdulillah. Okay. All right. We reached page 5. We have akhlaq. Page 5, it is about knowledge. Now this is something we should discuss in the methodology of seeking knowledge, which we are doing on Sunday, but here what is mentioned is something different. It is related also to the feeling or the character or the behavior. And we will see inshallah. If the only benefit of having knowledge were that the ignorant fear you and exalt you, and the learned love you and respect you, it would be sufficient cause for seeking knowledge. Now when we talk about seeking knowledge, we talk about the advantages of seeking knowledge. What the Prophet ﷺ said of many ahadith, not only one, not only two, but many ahadith. Whoever seeks a path for knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. That's one of the ahadith. Alaykum salam. And there are many ahadith as well. So there is a lot of virtue for seeking knowledge. But here there is something also different. When you are seeking knowledge, who will be your friends? Who will be your company? The people that are your friends. The ones that are learned, that are educated. Usually those people are good or bad. They are the best of people, the people of knowledge. So you are choosing good companionship. And you are going away from the ignorant. So that by itself is a sufficient cause for seeking knowledge. That you will be among the best of people. So again, as you see, we're not talking now about a hadith, about ayat of seeking knowledge. We're talking about something practical. When you seek knowledge, you will be among the company of people of knowledge as well. That by itself is enough. That's why, what about then all the other benefits in this life and in the hereafter? And if the only detriment of being ignorant were that the ignorant would envy the learned, and be content with the company of the ignorant, it would be sufficient cause to escape from ignorance. Have you seen an ignorant person who says or admits that he is ignorant? It's very rare. It is unfortunate. To the ignorant, he thinks that he is knowledgeable. He has enough. When you ask him, let's seek more knowledge, let's do this, he says, no, no. They will actually stop people thinking that what they have is enough. That by itself should keep you away from being ignorant. That alone should make you ask Allah Azza wa Jal always to seek refuge with Him from being ignorant. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge with Allah from ignorance. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jahl. We seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ignorance. It's not a good thing. But if it happened, in case it happened, you found yourself that you didn't know, and what we don't know is much more than what we know, we ask Allah to teach us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. We always learn. We will never have enough knowledge that we say we know everything. Never. We will always need for more. So Remember that the ignorant people, they don't admit or say that we are ignorant. To them, they don't want anyone else to be better than them. So they will stop anyone from trying to do better. What about then the other detriments in this life and in the hereafter? If the only benefit of having and seeking knowledge were that the seeker would be too involved in his learning to be stressed by pressing worries, to be troubled by empty hopes, and to be burdened by painful thoughts, it would be a great enticement to seek knowledge. This is another beautiful practical thing. When you are seeking knowledge, what are you busying yourself with? Look at people around in this dunya. Have you seen the latest version of this phone? Have you seen the new car? What are the features? You look at them and you laugh. You don't have time even to think about this. You don't care. Why? You have something more important. You look at people, what are they busying themselves with? Oh, look what this person did, what that person. They are busying themselves with other people. You don't have time for that. The enemy, they say, the enemy of the seeker of knowledge is time, because you feel that your time is short. You want to read more, you want to memorize more, you want to learn more. One case could take from you several hours just to solve, just to know the answer. But you look at other people and you say, subhanAllah, they are busy with what the other people did, with the new things of this dunya happened, the latest features, the latest things. You don't even have time for this. You have something more important. So therefore, this by itself is enough enticement for you to seek knowledge. You will be comfortable. Don't think that the seeker of knowledge is a robot, or does not have emotions, or does not have a life to live. They all have lives to live, but they have priorities. This is their priority, seeking knowledge, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people, their priorities is this dunya. They are looking for this dunya. So you compare the two worries. You are worried that what companion did this? The Prophet ﷺ during that time, what happened exactly? What is the correct opinion regarding? That's what you are worried about. That's your main objective. But other people, how much money I'm going to make? Is this going to be enough? Believe me, other people also have bills to pay. They have life to live. But they try to make their priorities better, which is seeking knowledge. So when you are in that path, you will be very comfortable. Yes, you are struggling, you are striving, but you are happy. Because you look at other people, 2 hours discussion. What country manufactured Mercedes? What country did this? What? No, you were wrong. And so what? Okay, and then what happened? This is the year that this model came to production, to the world. No, you're wrong. A year later. And so what? This is just an example. Sometimes people take hours, spend a lot of time doing these things that will not bring you that bit closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are in the path of seeking knowledge, you are doing something that really matters. At least it matters for you. It makes you a better person with the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The weakest of kings distress themselves by the miseries we listed above. And that is true. Some people, when they get very rich, they become very stupid. You might see that. They spend a lot of money on what? On things that don't matter. But for them, because they don't have anything to do, anything else to do. So, empty hopes, because they tried everything. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was the king of Asham. So they asked him, what do you wish of this dunya? He said, I tried everything. And alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal gave me everything. Now I enjoy most drinking a cup of cold water, especially if you're fasting, in a hot weather, under the shade of a tree. That's what he wants. He has a palace, he is married, he has rulership, but it comes down that you tried everything. So these people, the kings, the rich people, they tried everything and they want something new. That's why from time to time you hear about crazy news of people that they don't believe in Allah, therefore they don't account for a day when they will be asked about what they did, how they spend their money. They spend their money here and there. But why? Because they have the money and they don't know what to do. They tried a lot of things. So empty hopes, that's something that was mentioned. Painful thoughts. You have something that you want to protect, especially if you didn't get in a legitimate way, like the rulers in the Muslim countries in the Middle East. They put a lot of guards. They are worried that today maybe there will be a coup. Today they will dethrone them. They will. That's one thing. Money that you stole, so you are always afraid that they might come and catch you. So these are the worries of other people. Your worries, what is the correct opinion? How I can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more? So you compare the two things. You will be very happy with what you have. It's not always measured by how much are you making at the end of the day. So the weakest of the kings distressed themselves by the miseries we listed above. So they tried to escape these miseries by playing chess and backgammon, by drinking alcohol and listening to songs. So if you are too worried and you have nothing, remember Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah is mentioning things at his time. He didn't mention poker, gambling in our time, things that people kill their time and waste their time doing. Many other things also. So how? Because how can you rid yourself from the worries? You are worried. You think and think and think again. You don't have iman. Iman didn't fill your heart. So you will go to something haram. Drinking. Why people drink? You ask many people, non-Muslims, they tell you that they know the damages. Regardless of haram or halal to them, they don't believe it's haram, but they know the damage, they still do it. Why? They say, I want to forget. I want this to go away. They know that they are damaging themselves. They want something temporary. But for you, you have much better alternative. You don't have worries like them. You know that this is something painful. What you are going through is difficult. That's true, but you know that you will be able to overcome it, to get over it. Why? Because you have iman. And other matters that bring harm in this life, in the hereafter, and no benefit at all. If the learned ponders how the hours he spent learning saved him from the humiliation of being dominated by the ignorant and from the distress of having no access to the facts, and how those hours provided him with the joy of discovering that which is hidden from others, he would excel in praising Allah. That's why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, to him he said, to me, I prefer a night spent trying to solve a matter than spending a night with a new bride in a wedding. To us it might seem an exaggeration, but it is true. You spend these hours, you enjoy that. You found the answer for what you are looking. You found the fact. You know, and they don't know. This is a joy that not many people know, unless you experience it. Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are they equal? The ones who know and the ones who don't know, they are not equal. So it saves you from the humiliation. One of the Khalifas, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, in the Umayyad dynasty. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, he brought his children, he told them, my children, make sure you learn. I never forget the day of humiliation at that slave. Who did he mean by that slave? One of the pious predecessors from the Tabi'een, Mujahid, he was a black man, but he had the knowledge. Sulaiman, the Khalifa, going to Mecca to do the Tawaf, he needed to know a matter. He wanted to know the answer. So he had to ask him. So who is in need now? He's the Khalifa. He rules the entire region, but he was in need of that man. That man, black man, doesn't look very nice, doesn't have any luxuries of this life, but they needed him. And he gave him the answer. After he gave him the answer, now the Khalifa asked him, like, pay back. What do you want? He said, from you or from Allah? He said, no, I cannot do something that only Allah does, but ask me something I can do. He said, I am in the house of Allah. If I have Allah, I will not ask you. So this is what he told him. So that's what you get when you are knowledgeable, when you seek knowledge. This is something that only people who experience that. That's why don't be amazed what Imam Shafi rahimahullah said, because it is true. Not only him, other people like Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. He said, a night that I spend guarding the borders of Muslims, cold night, is better to me again than a warm night on the bed with my wife. Why? You are getting the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are enjoying that. So ask yourself now, maybe not now in Ramadan, but before Ramadan and after Ramadan. Late in the night, like 12 a.m., 1 a.m., you are staying awake. For what? What are you doing? Something that is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jal wanted you to do, or something that is not recommended, something that you're not supposed to do. And how those hours provided him with the joy of discovering that which is hidden from others. He would excel in praising Allah. And that is true. Who are the most fearful of Allah Azza wa Jalla? إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Truly the ones who fear Allah most are the knowledgeable. You know more. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. أَمَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ. I am the one that is most fearful of Allah. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Why? He knew more. So the more you know, the more fearful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you are praising Allah azza wa jal. And would be more pleased with the knowledge he has, and would deepen his desire to increase his knowledge. Something that you are enjoying. Something that gives you pleasure in this dunya and reward in the hereafter. Why would you abandon? You will actually ask for more and more. Whoever busies himself with seeking the less significant sciences and forsakes the higher ones, and he is able to learn them, is like a farmer who plants that which has no value and leaves out that which is valuable. This is another thing. You might say, Alhamdulillah, I am seeking knowledge. What type of knowledge? Inshallah, we'll talk about that in details on Sunday. The methodology of seeking knowledge. But remember, you are in this dunya for a purpose. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your objective to accumulate as much hasanat as you can. That's your job. It's like a race, competition. How much hasanat can you make in one day, in 1 hour? So if you can make 500,000, why would you be satisfied with only 100,000? And if you can make that much with less effort, why would you make more effort and get less hasanat? Just like the businessman. Businessman, his job is to make money. So he is spending 8 hours for 30 days to get paid at the end of the month 20,000 ringgit. Well, someone else is spending 5 hours and getting 40,000, double. So why don't you do that if you are able to? This is the example. Farmer planting a plant that he sells for 5 ringgit. While he is able to plant a plant that he sells for 10 ringgit. Which one is better? Both of them will be planted. Both of them will require the same job. So why would you go for the least benefit when you are able to get the higher one? always ask yourself this in everything, even in ibadah. One time the Prophet entered upon one of his wives. It was reported that it was Zainab or Juwayriya radiallahu anhuma, and he found her from the time he left her doing the same thing. She is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the stones. They didn't have subha like our time. So she is mentioning Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked her, are you still doing what you have been doing since I left you? She said yes. He said, I said one word, one sentence that equalizes all what you said. That's what you need to look for, because someone else spends 2 hours and you spend one sentence and you get the same reward. Which one is better? So always look for the best, for the highest. If you are able to, of course. Nowadays in Ramadan, people ask, what can we do? A lot of things. Simple example. The Prophet ﷺ said, As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-miskeen. The one who takes care of the widow. The widow doesn't have job. She doesn't have a supporter. And the one that is poor, the one who takes care of them, is like the one who fights in the cause of Allah. كَالْمُجَاهِدِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Or كَالصَّائِمِ Or like the one who fasts the day and prays the night. If you fast the day, usually you will be tired at the end of the night. But you fast the day and you pray the night, that's not easy to do. So if you cannot do that, you have an alternative. Take care of an orphan, of a widow, of someone who is poor, especially during this time. So always look for these opportunities. Another, and that's enough example, another one final example. Prophet ﷺ said, من صلى الصبح في جماعة. This is for men mainly, but inshallah it applies for women also. You don't have to be in jama'ah. For you it's better at home. He who prays subh in the congregation and remembers Allah after that until the sun rise, and then prays 2 rak'ah, what is the reward? Have you heard this before? What is the reward? Umrah? Hajj and Umrah. So, you cannot go for Hajj now because of the quota, because of a lot of things. You were able to go one time, alhamdulillah, but now you want to go more, but you don't have enough means, enough money. Do that. This will give you the same reward. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Always look for these things that will pay you a lot of reward. And there is a lot. A lot. People nowadays, they like to go and pay to get lottery. They want the jackpot. You have in Islam a lot of opportunities, especially in this month, the month of Ramadan. The one who is miserly with his knowledge is worse than the one who is miserly with his money. There are some people, unfortunately, they don't tell you. You want to know, and they don't tell you. Now, sometimes people belittle knowledge. That's different. What we're talking about, people want to know. They are asking you, and you're not telling them. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who does not reveal the knowledge when he is asked, will be covered with a mask of fire on the Day of Judgment. Why? Because maybe one word you said could save them, could guide them, and you stop doing it. The one with money, he's miser, because when you spend money, what happens? The money is still with you or it's gone? It is gone. So there is a justification why people don't like to spend money. But with knowledge, when you give it, are you going to lose it? No, so you are more miser. That's why you shouldn't stop the knowledge. You shouldn't hide it. You shouldn't keep it. Always you should give it. Because you're not going to lose it. Actually, it is a reminder. It's very good. These courses are very useful, not only for you, but for me. It's a reminder. You remember what you learned by giving it also to others. So there is no reason for you to stop the knowledge or to hide it. Because the one who is miserly with his money fears that he might lose his wealth by spending it. But the one who is miserly with his knowledge fears no loss of knowledge. By teaching it, he does not depart from his knowledge by giving it to others. Therefore, you shouldn't be afraid of giving the knowledge. You shouldn't hide it. The best of knowledge is what brings you closer to your Creator and what helps you attain His satisfaction. That's the best. Therefore, always ask yourself, before learning something, how this is going to benefit me. Sometimes people spend a big deal of time trying to know things that will not have any practical impact. How big are the angels? We know they are great creatures. We know that they are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that they don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know all of that. But how their size specifically will affect you? You already know that they are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an example. And there are many examples. What kind of staff, what kind of rod Musa alayhi salam had? اضرب بعصاك البحر الحجر. Musa alayhi salam had a stick. What kind of stick? Wood? What kind of wood? How that is going to help you? Therefore, we see that Allah Azza wa Jal didn't mention that in the Quran. The tree that Adam and Eve ate from, what kind of tree? Was it mentioned? There isn't any authentic hadith or ayah that says the type of tree. Why? It doesn't have any practical value for you. It's not going to increase your ibadah. Therefore, when you learn anything, before learning it, ask yourself, how this is going to help me? When you ask a question, before asking it, oh, I just want to know. Okay, you want to know, but why? How that is going to be helpful to you? Always ask yourself this. The knowledge should be what brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In wealth, condition, and health, compare yourself to those who are less fortunate than you are. Okay? Wealth, condition, and health. You compare yourself to the ones that are less fortunate. Unfortunately, we do the opposite. How come he got a better job or a better pay and we were employed at the same time? How he has a better house, he is able to afford this and I'm not? No. In the matters of dunya, always look for the less fortunate. So you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Because there will be always someone less than you. Don't look at the ones who are better than you. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives the one whom He loves and the one whom He doesn't love in this dunya. Only the akhirah for the ones whom He loves. So in matters of dunya, health, don't complain you have one disease. There are people with chronic diseases. Not only one, but chronic diseases. A lot of diseases. So you say, Alhamdulillah. Don't look for only one day you were sick. You were very sick. Look at the entire year that you were healthy. Alhamdulillah. That will make you thank Allah Azza wa Jal and appreciate the ni'mah of Allah. But if you are always looking for those who are better than you in dunya, Allah will take what He gave you already. Allah gave you this and you didn't thank Him. Gave you that and you still don't thank Him. He will take it away from you. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ. Remember when your Lord declared, if you are grateful, I will increase you. But you're not grateful. So Allah would take that from you. Why would He keep it with you? So these three things, always look for the ones who are less fortunate than you are. In wealth, condition and health, compare yourself to those who are less fortunate than you are. In religion, knowledge and virtue, compare yourself to those who exceed you in these matters. Okay, again, many of us do the opposite. Why don't you go to the masjid? Alhamdulillah, I pray at home. Look at this one. He doesn't even pray. No. Always look for those who are better than you. So you would do more. Why don't you go to the masjid? I have my group. We pray here. Why don't you pray 5 times in the masjid? Alhamdulillah, I pray 3 times at least. Other person don't pray at all in the masjid. So always, always look for people who are better than you in these areas. Virtue, knowledge, and religion. So three things, you look for those who are less of dunya, health, condition, and wealth. Religion, knowledge, and virtue, look for those who are better than you. Don't say, that's how I am, I can't change. No, you can't change. You can always be better, inshallah. You always can be better. There is always area of improvement. Nothing can be inflicted upon knowledge and its people worse than the intrusion of those who are outsiders to knowledge. They are ignorant, but they think they know. And they are mischievous, but they think they are reformers. Let me give you this example. Imagine a doctor who opened the clinic and he has his certificate, but it was fake. And people came to seek medication. And he didn't know what to do. What will happen to those people? They will get cured. What will happen to them? What will be the punishment for a person like that? Legally, are you allowed to do this? No. But in religion, unfortunately, who would stop you? I am the so and so. Well, says who? My beard, it's long. I am wearing this, and this is an unfortunate thing that people speak on behalf of religion without knowledge. What happens? I gave you an example of dunya. Engineer that structuring a building. Building a building. You think this building will stand? Temporarily maybe, but then what will happen? It will be destroyed. This is very dangerous. It's more dangerous when it comes to the religion. So, why? Because people think that they know and they ask them. The Prophet ﷺ warned us against that. That there will be a time when knowledge will disappear. So the companions asked, O Messenger of Allah, how knowledge will disappear? We memorized the Qur'an, we knew the Qur'an, we knew the Sunnah. He said, knowledge will disappear by disappearance of knowledgeable people. They are the true asset. Knowledge by itself is not only in books. Okay, you might find some knowledge, not everything. No matter how many books you read, can you learn Tajweed by reading book? Just like swimming, can you swim just by watching swimming? You have to swim, you have to get wet. The same thing with knowledge. So when those people are taken away, the true knowledgeable people, people need someone to ask. So they will find anyone, and those people will pretend to be knowledgeable. They will give the answer. They will misguide it. They will misguide the people, and they are themselves misguided. Ballu wa adallu. They are misguided, the ones that pretend to be knowledgeable, and they misguide people. This is when knowledge is disappearing. And unfortunately, we see this in our time. Maybe not in some Muslim countries, but especially in the West, where Islam is needed. There is a Muslim community, but they don't have any leader. Anyone who has a beard, come. You know some Arabic, some, come and lead us in prayer. Just because you memorized some surahs doesn't make you knowledgeable. But people don't know, so they come and ask. And we like to be given credit. So we don't say we don't have the knowledge, we give answers. This is the problem. So it is a grave danger. Those people who pretend to be knowledgeable and they are not. Because they pretend and they claim that they are reforming. And the only thing they are doing is destroying. Whoever desires the good in the hereafter, the wisdom in this life, the justice in conduct, the acquiring of all good morals, and the deserving of all virtues, should follow the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You want the perfection? You have the example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't get any better. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the perfect example in deen and in dunya as well. Nowadays, people teach the etiquette, how to deal with your wife, how to open the car for her, how the true respect, the true love from the Prophet ﷺ. No school would teach what the Prophet ﷺ did to his wives, to his companions, to his relatives, to his children, even to his enemies. How to deal with your enemies as well. It doesn't get any better. The Prophet ﷺ is the perfect example. And should imitate the Prophet's manners and conduct as much as he can. Something that you tried your best, that's all what you are asked for. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرُ Whatever I command you, do as much as you can. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ Fear Allah as much as you can. May Allah make it possible for us to follow His example. Amen. Because you want the perfection, that's the perfection. You claim that you are follower of the Prophet ﷺ, but you don't follow his sunnah, you don't do what he did, then where is the true love? Where is the true obedience? Nowadays, you look at the fans of some celebrities of this dunya, and they go crazy when they just want to watch them. They just want to touch them. They just want to know what they are doing, so they would do the same thing. Even if what they are doing is destruction. Haircut. They want to do the same. Why? They love them. So where is your love to the Prophet ﷺ? It's not only by words. It has to be shown by actions. Whoever seeks the virtues keeps the company of only the people of virtue. And that is true. It cannot happen. You want something clean, you cannot put najasa, impurity in it. You want it clean, so it has to be clean. You say you want virtues, you keep company of people of virtue. Whoever seeks the virtues keeps the company of only the people of virtue. On his path to the virtue, he accompanies the noble friend one, who offers good advice, is righteous, truthful, and generous in his dealings. That's what you will get. Look at Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. How much did he benefit from the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? On the other hand, Allah tells us, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ لَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا In Surah Al-Furqan, يَا وَيْلَتَى Woe to me, لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا I wish I didn't take so and so as a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ He misguided me. So always look and check on your friends. The people that you hang out with, are they helpful in matters of deen, first and foremost, and also in matters of dunya, there is no problem. But mainly in matters of deen, are they helpful? Because that's what you get from the virtuous people. On the other hand, you might not pay attention to it, but it is happening that you stop doing things that you used to do. You stop going to the masjid. Why? Because of someone new that you became friends with. This applies also to your children. Make sure that you see your family members. Who are their friends? Who are the ones that they are hanging out with? Because some parents come and ask, I never expected my son to do this. I never taught him this. Where did he get it from? First thing to look is his or her friends. Maybe it is from them. And whoever desires wealth, fame, and worldly pleasures keeps the company of wild dogs and vicious foxes. You cannot get both. Now, no one is stopping you from getting something from this dunya. But if that's your main objective, only dunya, only to be famous, Allah loves the one who is pious, hiding, sincere. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدَ التَّقِيَّ النَّقِيَّ الْخَفِيِّ You cannot get both. Now, Islam doesn't tell you cannot become well known or people cannot know you. You did something good, people gave you credit, alhamdulillah. But to make that or to seek only being famous and known, you have to be friends with those people. The nature of those people, like animals, the wild dogs, the vicious dogs, the foxes. Why? Remember earlier when we gave the examples, comparison between humans and animals. Animals in the jungle, like lions, they have roars. They like to be known, the king of the jungle. Maybe not the strongest animal, but that's the nature of them. So the same thing here. Fame, you want fame, you want to be known, you want only wealth. Again, Islam doesn't say you cannot have wealth. But wealth, for the sake of wealth, that's the nature of those people. You cannot get both. So which one do you want? You look for the best, and whatever came with it, alhamdulillah. The companions, many of them were rich. The Prophet ﷺ was very rich, in our standards also. But the main thing was the character itself. What do you want? What are you looking for from this friend? What do you want to achieve? Is it something good? Whether in this dunya or in the hereafter, then go ahead and maintain this friendship. Something that is not going to help you, from now it's better to stop it. It's not going to help you. On the Day of Judgment, the nearest and the dearest friend to you will be your enemy. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says. Al-akhillau yawma idhin al-akhilla. Khalil is the one that his love or her love is mixed in the heart. That cannot be taken. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Al-akhillau yawma idhin, on that day, on the Day of Judgment, ba'duhum li ba'din adu. One to another, enemy. They are enemies, one to another. Illa, the only exception, illa al-muttaqin. Only the righteous. Only the ones that loved each other for the sake of Allah. Their relationship was not for something worldly. It was for dunya, for deen, for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember that. Your friends, the dearest, the nearest to you, if your friendship is not based on something virtuous, it will turn to animosity. On his path to these worldly pleasures, he accompanies the ones that are corrupt in belief and nature. You ask them, why you are doing this? It's my job. Well, who said that this has to be your job? No, I have to be fit, I have to do this, so I have to eat that, I cannot fast. Who said you have to go through all of this? You are a Muslim, so first and foremost, you should seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you going to benefit from this? Make sure that you are known for your peaceful nature. Be careful not to be described as a man of cunning, for many people might stay away from you. This could harm you or even kill you. Here's a question for you. What do you think is better? People, when they talk about you and they say you are easygoing, you are simple, some people may be able to deceive you, or when they say no one can deceive you, no one can take something from you. What do you think? I might say, I want the second one. I'm always winning. That's what comes first to mind, that you are always winning. But when people think, if this man or this woman is always winning, that means I will never be able to get anything from him or her. So eventually, people will stay away from you. So make sure you are known of your peaceful nature. If you are not known for that, you might think, I am better. I have strong personality. It's true. But eventually people will try to stay away from you, because they will know now they are your friends and they saw what you did to other people, that they are not your friends. Tomorrow, maybe it will happen to them. So from now they say, let's stay away from him or from her. So you have to be known as a person of peaceful mind, peaceful nature. That's very important. Page 7. Teach yourself to expect what you hate. Now, that's not easy to do. Teach yourself to expect what you hate. Now, not that you expect it or you want it to happen. You are always positive. They tell you it's important to be positive. It's true. But at the same time, the companions recommended trying to toughen yourself, because you don't know how long the blessing will last. When you are used without this thing, when it is gone, alhamdulillah, you're used to living. But imagine electricity, for instance. It never went off. Never there was an outage. It was never happening. And you never expected it to happen, so you don't have any alternative. And once it happened, everything was spoiled. Food in the fridge, thrown away, no other air condition working on battery, on alternative power, nothing. Why? You never expected that to happen. But the one who expected it, not that he or she wanted it to happen, they were just trying to be cautious. It happened, alhamdulillah, let's turn the alternative power. Let's do this. Let's try to adapt to it. That's the benefit. That's the advantage. Teach yourself to expect what you hate. This way, you would be less distressed if what you hate befalls you. If it happened, alhamdulillah, you didn't want it to happen, but it happened, you are able to deal with it better. And you would be more joyous if what you love comes to you, which you did not expect. It didn't happen. Not that you wanted it to happen. But alhamdulillah, it didn't happen. You are more happy. We saved the alternative things. They are still brand new. We could still sell them or return them or do whatever. So the nature of people, the successful, they always have plan B. They always plan ahead. But just waiting on things to happen, what if something wrong happened? Why many people fall in debt because of payments? Because they never expected an unexpected payment. They calculated exactly how much is the car payment, and they barely make that payment. So they said, we're okay. Well, what if something wrong happened? You needed 200, 300 extra. Now you are defaulting on the car payment. So always try to have plan for contingency. Something that is urgent. The same thing here. When you teach yourself that what you don't like, and I ask these people most of the time, here maybe for you, especially those who drive and commute for long distances, what do you hate most? They tell you traffic. Right? How much time do you spend in traffic?
1 hour.
When you make this your joy, your life will change. In Houston, we have that also. There is huge traffic in Houston, the fourth largest city of America. But I have in the car at least 20 CDs. At least. So I enjoy the traffic. Why? Because I have something to do. I put and play and listen and try to work while, because I'm in the traffic, there is nowhere to go. Alhamdulillah, this is there. And this is something that you hate, make it the best. Not that you want traffic, but if it happened, you have an alternative. I know some people memorized surahs during just going back and forth to work. Because it takes from you at least 2 weeks of your time every year. 2 weeks, 14 days. You calculate. Another example, one of the sisters. You ask women, especially now in Ramadan, where do you spend most of your time? Kitchen. Not in the masjid, not in kitchen. True, right? It's only one meal. It should be the least of time. One of the sisters memorized Quran in the kitchen. Had the Quran, made copies, colored copies. Every day a page is there. She's cooking and she's looking. She memorized and finished the entire Quran. So be creative. When you teach yourself that the worst is the best for you, your life will change. Whatever happens, you're okay, alhamdulillah. If it didn't happen, no traffic, alhamdulillah, you're happy. You arrived work early. Blessed is the one who is aware of his own faults, more than what people know about his faults. Blessed is the one who knows, he is aware of his faults more than what people are aware of. Many times, if we ask ourselves to evaluate ourselves, how much do you give yourself out of 100? 110. Right? But if you say, I know I deserve 70, and people say you deserve 80 or 90, alhamdulillah, that's good. You say they don't know. The sincere people, they always, always try to do better. But the deceived people, they don't really know what's going on. They think that they deserve 100 and everyone says they are only 70 or 60. Why? When you are aware of your shortcomings, at least you know them. So at least you try to improve them. But if you give yourself 100, why do you even listen to anybody who tries to criticize you? You're perfect. There is no need to change anything. So you are really deceived this way. So it is really a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are aware of your shortcomings more than what people know. Whoever keeps the company of people is bound to be painfully stressed, to commit a sin which he will later regret, to be eaten by fury, and to be humiliated, which breaks his dignity. So you can imagine what harm will inflict the one who mixes with people and get involved in their affairs. Is that the case always? How many people do you know? If you look at your phone, how many people on the list? How many people you call every day? Some people, it's true, when they are alone, they may not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they are together, they dare one another. I remember when we were children, the same thing. Alone, I would never expect myself to do that. But we were together, so we did it. The same thing. People sometimes, they encourage each other to do something. If they were alone, they would never do it. You are with people, someone said something, you were unhappy with it. If you were alone, you would never have heard that. You want to answer back. There was no time. Next meeting, I will start by saying this. This was not right. So, it's not always like that, but it is true. The company of people sometimes causes humiliation. Sometimes entices or dares you to commit sins. Sometimes bring forth painful things. A word that you heard that you didn't like. If you were alone, you would never hear it. But on the other hand, can you live alone? Is that what Allah wants from us? To be in a seclusion, living on an island alone? No. So what is the solution? That's what I like here. There is an answer. So you can imagine what harm will inflict the one who mixes with people and get involved in their affairs. Dignity, comfort, happiness and peace exist in isolating yourself from them. Isolating yourself from people. Not totally. How? Treat people the way you treat fire. That's the practical example. You like fire? Can we live without fire? Can we cook without fire? We need it, right? But do we love it so much that we play with it, we touch it with our hands? No. You need fire. Be close to fire, but not too close, that it will burn you. Same thing with people. I care about my friends, my brothers, my sisters. I ask about them, but that's about it. Later, too much? No, because I have also other priorities. I have a life to live. Okay? Live for people, but don't forget yourself. So that should be the example. Always look at people as you are looking at fire. Benefit from it. Get its warmth, but don't get too close, that it will burn you. They ask you for something, you can do it? Yes, alhamdulillah, I can help you with this. They ask you for something haram? I'm sorry. They are your friends, still, you worry about Allah more. So that is a beautiful example. Treat people the way you treat fire. get its warmth, but don't mix with it. If you mix with fire, what will happen? It will burn you. You will get burnt. You don't want that. Do not belittle a task planned for tomorrow by not trying to accomplish it today. Oh, it's easy tomorrow. If it's easy, start doing it now. Okay? Procrastination, that's a disease. Right? It is a disease. And for Muslims especially. Now, we are on the second day of Ramadan. How many of you started new things beginning yesterday? Something that you were delaying aside from reading the Quran. Many of you, when Ramadan comes, now it's time to read the Quran. Aside from that, what else? Do you all have your wills written? Who doesn't have it? Today, when you leave, inshallah, go back, have it ready. At least you did something. Oh, it's easy, I was planning to do it. Never ever say that. From now, do not belittle a task planned for tomorrow by not trying to do it today. Tomorrow you don't know what will happen. Maybe tomorrow will never come. You have today. So do it today. What you can do today, do it. Something left? Yes, tomorrow maybe you'll do it. But at least you tried. There is a great lesson in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This by itself is a separate session about procrastination. But this is an example. It could happen to good people. It doesn't mean that only bad people procrastinate. It could happen to good people. But the cause of it should be eliminated. Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a companion. He witnessed all the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the exception of Badr. He said Badr, it was not known that we were going to fight. Therefore, nobody was blamed for not going for Badr. All the other battles, Uhud, Al-Khandaq, Khaybar, all these battles, he accompanied the Prophet ﷺ. He is a companion from the Ansar, Ka'b ibn Malik. He heard the news that the Prophet ﷺ is going for jihad in Tabuk. It was known, the time was set, the distance is known, it's far, because you have to prepare. You know what to expect. They were traveling for about 1,000 kilometers. It's not easy journey. He said, at that time, I was never in a better time. I had two camels, not only one, two camels. So I was ready, but I kept delaying. I kept delaying. And I said, tomorrow I'll get ready. Tomorrow I'll get ready. Until the news came that tomorrow they are leaving. And I said, tomorrow I'll get ready. Tomorrow came, they left, and I didn't prepare myself. Until I realized that they are already away. And I wish I caught up with them. But I didn't. So the only thing stopped him was what? Not because he didn't like to join the Prophet ﷺ. He was always with him. Not because he lacked iman. He was a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. But he delayed. So never ever delay anything. What was the consequence for his delay? 40 days. In a trial, people don't talk to him until the ayah came, because he was sincere. لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ in Surah At-Tawbah. وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَ, and Allah accepted the repentance of the three. One of them was Ka'b ibn Malik, because there were other two people, Murar ibn Rabi' and Hilal ibn Umayyah. Ka'b ibn Malik is the one who tells this story. So he's a companion. It doesn't mean that you are a bad person, just you have this bad habit of procrastinating. So make sure that whatever you can do, start doing it from today. Start doing it from today. You want to lose weight? Start from today. Yeah, I know, this is one of the things that people procrastinate a lot. We still have long life tomorrow. Prayer. What time is the next prayer? You should ask how many minutes? The time has come already. No, what time? I still have 1 hour. Who said that you have to wait until the end of the time and then pray? These are the things most Muslims procrastinate. Okay. From many little tasks, a great task is born. This is the problem. It was little, you delayed it, and now it became great task, and you cannot do it anymore. And vice versa as well. Great task, every time you look at it, it's hard. You have 1,000 documents to file. Okay, do it one by one. At least you did one. So tomorrow it's not 1,000 anymore. It is 900. And so on and so forth. From little tasks, a great task will come. And the opposite also. Great task that you cannot do at once, try to do it gradually. And it will be done, inshallah. Memorizing the Quran is an example. Oh, the Quran is a lot of surahs, 114 surahs. I cannot memorize it all. Yes, at once maybe you cannot. But if you try to do that for 20 years, 20 years, yes, because you have been trying for the last 20 years and it didn't work. If you plan for 20 years, one line, only one line, that's all what you need to do, one line, you will do it. You will do it. So do not procrastinate. You might find yourself unable to do the great task and nothing gets accomplished. That is the problem. So always, the preferred word for successful people is what? Today. For procrastinators, tomorrow. When are you going to do this? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. For successful people, now. Today. I will try. It's a great solution for husbands. Whenever a wife asks, tomorrow. Only those who experience pain, poverty, calamity, and fear truly know the harm they cause. Pain, poverty, calamity, and fear. I could add to that also hunger. Only people who are going through that, they know how it looks like. And this is actually one of the objectives of Ramadan. In Ramadan, when we abstain from food and drink, that's not really the purpose. Allah is not going to benefit from us being hungry or thirsty. It is to benefit us. When was the last time, aside from Ramadan, you wanted to eat, but you couldn't? Not because you want to obey Allah, but because you couldn't afford buying food. You want to eat, but you cannot. How does it feel? It's very painful. People are going through this. So if you say never, I was never in that situation, how you come and say, I feel what those people are feeling? You've never been there. This is the example of people now. When a president comes and says, we sympathize, he's lying. He never was there. He never experienced that. This is one of the objectives of Ramadan, to feel what the poor people are feeling. That at least, alhamdulillah, we are doing it willingly for the sake of Allah. We are asking Allah to reward us. But those people doing it because they have no other option. There is no food. I tell you, I see people in Syria, 6 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours waiting just to get a loaf of bread. And maybe or maybe not they will get it. Many times the places were bombed. You see their flesh mixed with the bread. That's only something basic like bread. So you've never been there. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to keep security. We never ask Allah for fitna or trial to befall on us because we don't know whether we will be patient or not. But you are always secure. You never was afraid. You cannot feel what those people are feeling. They sleep on the sound of war jets, missiles and bullets. It's not a good feeling. Believe me, because I was there. To be in a war zone. So, only the people who are there, who are experiencing that, they know the harm they cause. The worst of them, believe me, the worst of them is fear. That's why Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. بِشَيْءٍ, only with little. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we shall test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. That's the first thing, khawf, fear. وَالْجُوعِ, hunger. وَنَقْصٍ, lack of wealth. نَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So it's not a good feeling at all. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have security, you sleep safely when you go back home, nobody bothers you, you don't fear that the army or some people with weapons, they will take you. Alhamdulillah, you don't have that, so thank Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a great ni'mah. You've never been in that situation, you cannot feel exactly what those people are going through. Only the people inside, they know the true harm that is caused by fear, by calamity, by poverty. No one who has not experienced these matters knows their true effects. Only those who are not inflicted by corrupt opinions, shame, and sin truly know their ugliness. But those who are so inflicted do not see the ugliness of these evils. The same thing. You look at someone with a sound mind, looks wise, but he is doing something that you say, this is insane. Everybody talk to him or her, but they are still doing it. Why? When they are too involved in something, it's hard for them to see it from outside. That's why they always say, think outside the box. Think from outside. Because when you decide on something, you cannot see anything but that thing. You are too narrow vision. So you have to have someone. That's why in Islam it's always recommended to seek istishara, seek another opinion, and istikhara, to ask Allah to choose for you. Only the ones who are inside don't see the ugliness of it. Everybody else have told you, and you didn't listen. Why? Because you were too involved in it. So it's the opposite. In terms of making a decision, it's very hard to know the correct one if you are the sole decision maker. That's why in Islam we have shura, we have to ask, we have to do istishara and istikhara, because we tend to think that we know everything, that what we know is the truth. The truth, we are the only holders of it. So it's very hard to know the ugliness of it from inside. But from outside, everybody knows. That's why you have to take yourself outside to see it. We will stop here, inshallah, at page 7. It's about time. So if you have any comment, any question, feel free. Otherwise, inshallah, you can. Jazakumullahu khairah. I hope you benefited today. We have 2 more sessions. We need to go faster, inshallah. A lot to cover. Any questions? Any comments? Otherwise, you could leave, inshallah.